God, glad you're here. Appreciate the Lord bringing us all this way. Thank God for His goodness to us and allowing us to be here on His planet, on His property, and breathe His air. And as we look in the Word of God in Luke chapter 8, we're going to begin reading at verse 4 down to verse 15. Luke chapter 8, we're going to read verse 4 down through verse 15. The Bible says in verse 4, "And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And he said, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh a devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience." I want to preach to you this morning on different types of sinners. The Bible calls all of us sinners when it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." But when we look at sinners are, we're all in different types. While we're all sinners, there are four different types that are discussed in this parable, I believe, that will help us to understand, to find out two things. Number one is who you are. A lot of folks don't know who they are. They have put up such a false image of their self that they couldn't identify their self if they had to. And secondly, we want to find out what you are, because we need to know who we are and what we are. I'm glad, thank God, I didn't buy in that evolution stuff. You know why? Because here's why. Number one is this. If my people didn't swing from their tails, they swung from their necks. That's my crowd. I was with the bad crowd. And when I look back in my family history, I see some things back there where some of them got the capital punishment of the day. I found out over the years that that name Baptist out there is not a compliment. It's meant to be an insult when it first come around, and we had to adopt that thing years ago. And we were called Anabaptists. We were rebaptizers because when they'd come out of the Catholic, Presbyterian, Methodist Church, all those things, when they'd come out of them, they'd say, "We want to get saved." When those folks got saved, we'd put them all the way under the water. And the crowd that was against us called us rebaptizers or Anabaptists. But I've noticed this as we look down through here and we find ourselves in these parables and we apply them to who we are. As we look at this thing at different types of sinners, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you. God, we thank you, Lord, for letting us be here today and be alive. We pray, God, that you'll move and do a great work in this service. God, help us, Lord God, to see who we are and what we are, God, from the Scriptures, so that we might get help today from your precious book. God, I pray today, Lord, while we're here, God, if you'll move, Lord, I pray, God, that you would move on people today. Lord, there may be somebody here that's sitting here that knows in their hearts that they're lost and they need to get saved. I pray, God, for the Holy Spirit, God, to convict them of their sins and draw them to Christ that they might be saved. I pray, God, for everybody in this room that's saved, God, that you'll help us find out who we are and what we are. And God, help us to follow you. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray and for his sake. Amen. As we look in the Word of God at the different types of sinners, if you look down at verse number 5, he starts off with real sinners. He says in verse number 5, "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of air devoured it." And if we take that alone, but we got verse 12, which is the interpretation of that verse, it said, "Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved." The Bible talks about this wayside, and the wayside was the path that ran through the common field, separating plots, and where people walked through that thing, the foot hardened the soil. I used to watch my grandpa plow up a garden every year. And by the time I come along, the mule had done retired, and he got this fancy electric thing out there called a tiller. And he'd bounce that thing all the way through that thing, and he'd get that thing so broke up. One of the most amazing things I've ever seen was that ground all mushy and soft like that. Here come old Snake out there. Grandpa had the shovel, and he looked like a ninja out there until his old legs gave out from under him. Him being 70 years old, he fell down, took that stick, and brought himself right back up and come right back down on that thing. I said, man, look at that. I won't be able to kill snakes like Grandpa when I get older. I'm telling you, ninja Grandpa. Pow! There he was. I'll never forget that as long as I live. But I noticed after he'd get out there, he'd set him out some rows of that stuff. And the place where he'd walk on and get them things ready, he'd go back there and hold that thing back out just like he wanted and make straight rows out through there. And he told me something about the thing. He said, you got to have your rows straight. And I still believe as a Bible-believing preacher all these years later, saved, born again by the grace of God, hey, the rows ought to be straight.
Amen.
You see out there with the real center, here's what it is. You got that path cut out through there, and the places he'd walk on each side of it, from that time all the way to the time he harvested whatever he had out there, that path would get hard where he'd walk. If we were to go by there and maybe drop a seed by there every once in a while, it wouldn't be there the next day. It'd stay on top of the ground. It'd never take root. And he says in that verse 12, he said, those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. You know what a real sinner is? That's somebody that admits they're saved. They'll honestly and openly say, are you born again? Would you go to heaven and die? They'd say, no, they're real sinners. They're real. They're not like these phony sinners. They're real sinners. I'd rather have an honest man tell me something like that than to come up with all this false religious stuff and try to tell me and convince me outside of Christ they're going to heaven. I'd rather be around a real sinner. That way I know who I'm around. I noticed that when I was growing up, you couldn't tell people from people. Sometimes in the music industry. I mean, it'd be George Jones and Tammy Wynott and Conway Twitty and all them. When it come Christmas times, it was baby Jesus time. They all had Christmas albums, including the great Elvis had a Christmas album. Now, the rest of the year, they sung about adultery and fornication and drinking beer and all that. But come Christmas time, they all got religious. Even the hee-haw crowd did. But that's why I like rock and roll. I knew they was real sinners. They didn't fake that stuff come December. Amen. Listen to me, I see a lot of people out there that are fake, but when I see this parable and I see verse 5 up there and I see verse 12, I see real sinners that are admittedly not saved, that are really, when you get them around holy things, they're ashamed to be around holy things. There's been a lot of times when I've been places and you've been places, you saw this, you go to hand the gospel tract to somebody and they're almost ashamed to take it because they know what they are. You invite them to church, they're afraid to come because they're afraid the building will fall in on them. They're real. They're real sinners. Are you saved? No, I'm not saved. Are you born again? No, I'm not born again. They're just real. They're honest. That might be the only thing they're honest about, but they're honest about that. I remember a couple of times me and some folks in the church go out and visit people. They'd say, I'd like to come, but I'm afraid the door would shut in my face when I got there. Nobody would want me there. That's a real sinner. They are real to the core. But then there's another type of sinner in this text, in verse 6, in verse 13 both, that said, and some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. It never got the water it needed. Verse 13, they on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. These sinners are what you would not call real sinners, they're called reprobate sinners. Because it said they fell on the rock in verse 6, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And it's they which hear receive the word with joy. They like it while you're preaching. Hey, listen, these type of sinners, these reprobate sinners, they like it while you're blowing out the crowd that's attacking Israel. They like it when you blow out Barack Obama. They like it when you blow out the liberals of this world. They like it. They'll say amen to that stuff. They'll say, man, let them have it, preacher. They like it. But it says in verse 13, they received the word with joy. And they have no root. Why? They fell in the wrong place. It said, which for a while believe and in a time of temptation fall away. That's your 3 to 5 month center there, that where they'll take in the thing and they'll receive it gladly. But when the devil comes along and tempts them with one thing, they're out the door. That quick. And what you have is, like I said, is a reprobate sinner. The Apostle Paul, dealing with a very carnal church in the church at Corinth, said this under the inspiration of God. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, 5, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. What's he talking about? He's talking about somebody that claims they got something, but the first little thing knocks them back out of the saddle, and they can't get back on the horse. I've heard over the years that people tell me that you know, there's certain ways you can test metals to find out whether they're real or not. I'm not sure of all the ways you test them, and I've never really looked into this thing a whole lot, but I have noticed a couple of things. I had a silver dollar here a while back. And I'm not talking about a silver dollar with the brown streak around the side of it. That's copper. And you'd throw it down, you'd hear a certain sound. But I had a silver dollar I bought from a coin collector at a flea market. And I might be the dumbest man on earth to give $3 for a dollar, but I wanted that thing because it was silver. Because I'd always heard this. And I got that thing home, and I got my 1972 Eisenhower with a little copper streak in it. I had that thing, it was an 1800 and something, and it had a beautiful picture of the Statue of Liberty on it, and I threw that one down, it made a certain sound. But when I threw that other one down, I've never forgot how to hear that silver hit that wood. It was as plain as a marble rolling across a wood floor. It was that distinguished and that distinguished of a sound. And I could think about that thing even now, and I had doubts in my mind that the other one I threw down was even a real dollar after that. It might be worth a dollar. It might look like a dollar. But if you tested it and you tested both metals, one would come up fake. They call that one a reprobate. It's been tested and found false. Jeremiah said it this way in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 30. Reprobate silver shall men call them because the Lord hath rejected them. And what we find out is we get over here to this guy over here that's the reprobate sinner. He's been tested and found false. It's been found out on him that he's not the genuine article. How would you like to go out today and buy a car, and you get the car home, and you start waxing the car, and you're telling your wife, men, you're bragging on that thing, saying, boy, this is the best car. This is the best car I've ever seen like this. And you go rubbing on that Ford thing on the front of it, and bump something, and that thing fall off, and it's got this word under it, you go. And you back up and look at that thing and said the dealer said it was a Ford. The title said it was a Ford. But this thing bounced off and here's the word Yugo. What is a Yugo? You young people even know what a Yugo is. I worked at Dick Bailey one time, about 4 or 5 months. I found out I couldn't line up to be a car salesman. Testify right there. I heard the industry's changed, by the way. But I looked at that thing. We had Yugos out there on the Vic Bailey import lot. They were so rare and so blessed that we offered this Japanese guy, if he'd buy one, we'd give him one free. He all of a sudden didn't hoblo English after that. He said, Yugo, no. I said, come on, man, they buy one, get one free. I mean, you and the wife can have matching Yugos. No. I thought, how about I give you both of them? No. How about I give you $20 and you take all 5 of them I got sitting here? Will you do that for me? Listen, you test them things that have been found false. You fellas that are in these old cars, there's a part number on each part of that car. When they built it in Michigan years ago, you go look at the fender, it's got a certain number on it, and it matches this number over here, matches the engine, matches this, all the way through that car. Is that correct? Every one of them. But if you buy one, a guy says, it's all genuine. You get it home, and one day you take the wheel off, and you look up under there, and there's this thing, and it's not the same number as on the thing up front. You know what that's called? It's a reprobate. It's been tested. It's been found false. You know what we find sometimes with folks? they're unable to discern their real problem. Paul said, examine yourselves, except you be found reprobates. Why is that? Well, it's very simple. Jesus said this, very powerful words here. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What happens to folks is this. When they get saved, God saves them. If they're not saved, the first little temptation to run out of church, to run away from the things of God, to get away from the Bible, to get away from the things of God, knocks them right out. You know what that makes you? That don't make you, I messed up one time. You fall out and don't come back. That's called a reprobate. You never was in. There are thousands of people probably in this county that's made false professions of faith. They didn't mean a word they said when they got saved. Sometimes it's children. They get in trouble at school. And they want to get mom and daddy off their back. I mean, you old-fashioned parents, what'd you do? Your kid come home from school, said you got a whipping, you gave him another one. That way, the next time the situation come up, they'd know not to do the wrong thing in the right place. Nowadays, listen, the kid makes a bad report card or something like that. He comes home and says, I got a bad report card. The parent and the child go back and fuss at the teacher. We've changed for the worse. This is how you pay attention. This is how you know evolution ain't true. We ain't getting better. We're getting worse. But notice this thing here with a reprobate sinner. They're unable to discern their real problem. The real problem is Jesus said, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. When's the last time the book got open? It's the last Sunday. You might be in real trouble here. When's the last time you prayed? Well, when you prayed a little while ago when you was having that message. And when Brother Kirsch asked that guy to pray right before then. Well, when was it? Wednesday night? Sunday night? You may be in real trouble here. Listen, I'm not testing you, but I know the Holy Ghost will. And I know when we open this book up, He begins to deal with hearts, and He begins to deal with things. And listen, a lot of folks will say, well, you got no right to judge me. I'm not the one sitting there making you feel bad about it. I'm just telling you what this book says. That's it. You got real sinners, you got reprobate sinners. And then verse 7 and verse 14 says, some fell among thorns. And the thorn sprang up with it and choked it. And then you look down at verse number 14 and the Bible says this, and that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. These folks here in verse number 7 and verse 14, these model a religion but not redemption. These are what you would call religious sinners. Religious sinners. A religious sinner is somebody who comes to church, they've never been born again, but they're like a bad penny. They just won't go away. They won't get saved, but they won't get out of church. These are the very people that cause more problems in churches than I have ever seen in my life. I went to church from birth to 14, got out of church because I thought I knew everything, and boy, did I find out I didn't. Got saved at 24, and now I'm 44, 20 years later, and I'm looking back through all that time, minus 10 years, I've been in church 34 years, some of you longer, and you've seen the same people over and over causing the same trouble. Every one of them. They're religious sinners. They fuss about everything at the church. They'll fuss about how things are handled. They'll fuss about how this is going on. They didn't like how the choir sang such and such. They didn't like how such and such said such and such. Somebody didn't shake my hand. Hey, listen, won't you get up off your blessed assurance and walk around and shake hands? Amen. Sitting there like this. You look like the guy that keeps the bridge down there. You know what I'm saying? You're looking like him. And listen, if somebody don't speak to you, hey, maybe they hadn't had time. You ever thought about this? Maybe they're in worse shape than you are. It could very well be that somebody in this room is having a worse day than you're having. Because after all, I don't know if you know this, but the world is not centered around you. We didn't come here for you. We came here for Christ. Every song we sang was about Him. We're preaching from His Word. We're not here to say, now God loves you. Everything's about you. I mean everything. The whole world is just you. It ain't about you. It's about Him. And religious sinners hate to hear preaching about him. They'd rather hear me blow you out because you a stinking goat and not feed the sheep. That way the sheep get lean and they fall away and the goats will eat anything. Watch this. Say these religious sinners, they make the mistake of not working out their own salvation with fear and trembling. You know, when I got saved, a few weeks after I was saved, you know what I felt like? I felt like I was lost. You know, I felt like I was lost because the same flesh I had before I got saved and it didn't get perfect. And I struggled with that thing and I thought, man, there's got to be something to this. I mean, after all, why would I feel this way? I mean, I just asked the Lord to save me, what, 2 months ago? And I was, you know, all in despair about this. I would read my Bible and think, am I really saved? Am I wasting my time and all this stuff? And finally I ran across a verse. It's Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I looked at that thing and I thought, I need to find out if what I got, what this book said salvation is. And I went through there and I found some very important things. I found out, first off, that Christ died for sinners. And I could identify with that because I was one. And I is one. And I found out that when you get saved, I searched the scripture for this, you don't become perfect. Now, I know that has shocked you because you think you was perfect before, during, and after conversion, but you wasn't and you ain't. It's like a guy said, he went up to a guy and talked to him about 10 commandments. And the guy said, well, you can't believe, sir, that you keep all 10 commandments. He said, well, I do. He said, I've kept them since birth. He said, you're already lying, and I know that's one of them. And when people get to the point where they're sitting there and they can't do anything, and they try to trick themselves into believing they're perfect and the world revolves around them. But listen, if you come to the point of the Bible and you want to know and you're working out your salvation, it's not to prove it to somebody else. It's with fear and trembling right in here because you want to make sure that you got the goods, man. And when a religious sinner comes to this point, he needs to find out, or she needs to find out, whether or not the salvation they have lines up with the Bible. I found out in this Bible, I got to looking through it, and I found out some things. That when I was working through with this thing with fear and trembling, Christ died for sinners. He bids sinners to come to Him. I could take you back to the place in my mama's floorboard, we was headed to Greenville, South Carolina, when I was down there saying, is there a God? And God's saying, I'm here. I can take you back to the place at Ronald McDonald House on a Tuesday night. Joel Gardner, Tom Council came over there. They wanted to talk to me. Did I have anything I need to talk about? I was about to die. You know why? God's dealing with me. I can take you back to that hospital and that guy said, your son's going to die. I said, well, hold up. You need to tell your wife. I can't tell all that. And I remember going down there to that pay phone. And I remember calling that preacher and telling him, listen, you got to get here in a hurry. He said, okay, I'll be there as soon as I can. I hung up, walked outside and waited on him. I wasn't going nowhere. I can remember him pulling up, me seeing the lights of his car, thinking, thank God the man of God's here. And I remember going over to that Ronald McDonald House where he's staying over there, and I remember getting down that floor, and he said, you got to confess your sins to Jesus. You got to ask Him to save you. You know, a couple months later, I found out in this book, if we confess our sins, He's faithful just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I found out that if thou shalt confess the Lord with thy mouth and thy heart, believe in thy heart and confess with thy mouth, thou shalt be saved. I say, I've seen for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I'm going to tell you, I got a good case of the joy o's, man. Because when I got up from there, I said, hey, I know I got it now because I did this. Christ did this. He did that for me. I accepted Him. And the Bible never says I'd feel saved every day. I'm going to tell you, I got plugged into that thing. I found out one day I read the book of Job, or Job, whatever you want to call it. If you ain't got a job, you need to get one that's in the Bible. Amen. But it's called Job, and I looked through Job and I found out something. Job chapter 1, he's blessed to start off with. Tragedy comes his way, and for 37 other chapters he gets criticized by his friends and gets all kind of advice. And then God shows up. Heaven was silent that whole time. And I sat there thinking about that, and I thought, listen, I must have had a little bit of Job complex. Heaven got silent on me. But I'm going to tell you what, when he showed up in chapter 38, he said God blew in on him. He come in like a whirlwind. But that wasn't so in all the rest of the chapters, just that one. You may not be on the mountaintop the whole time, but every once in a while he'll blow in on you. It might be in the prayer closet. It might be in a Sunday service. It might be in Sunday school. It might be driving down the road. But every once in a while, God will give you something like that. You know what that's for? That's not for you to brag. That's for you to brag on Him. Listen to this. There's real sinners. There's reprobate sinners. There's religious sinners. And then look at verse number 8. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And then down in verse 15, he interprets exactly what he said. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. This last sinner is a redeemed sinner. A sinner that's been saved by Christ Himself. They've been sealed with the Holy Ghost of redemption. Their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They have a mansion waiting for them in heaven. That's this sinner. A sinner that has been saved by Jesus. And the only proof he has of that is he knows it in his heart he's been saved. But everybody else knows it by what's been going on the outside. This redeemed sinner has been changed by Jesus Christ. Not only was he convicted, he was converted, and now he's changed. What changed him? The Holy Spirit of God moving in him and him knowing that everything he did, God was right there with him to let him know whether or not to continue on in it. There's sometimes for a saved person, for that redeemed sinner, you will sin. That's why that 1 John 1:9 is in the Bible. But there's one sure thing, is if you get up every day and you were to take your Bible and you was to open it up to Psalm 37 verse 23, where it said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and you turn over to 2 Timothy 2 and you say, "Lord, I'm a good soldier. I'm reporting for duty. I want your Spirit to guide my steps and stops." You will find out that God will. You'll find out that every day when you do that, you've asked for your marching orders, you've asked for God to do a work there, you've asked God to control your mouth, your manners, your message, your mind, and all day long He's there with you to do that. Why? Because you asked. Not because you're perfect. You just asked the Lord who is perfect to do it. And He takes that and He begins to show you things. You come up on the convenience store, you go in there, and you look around at all the things you could buy. As you're walking by the beer, Holy Ghost says, "You know you can't get away with that." You walk by the Reese's cups, and the Lord says, "You can have one," and I don't mean the four pack, one out of the two pack. Is that right? The Bible says bodily exercise profiteth little. It didn't say it didn't profit at all. You look at that thing, you walk on by there, you go by the Coca-Cola, Mountain Dew, Diet Mountain Dew, Coke Zero, and Sprite, and Mellow Yellow, and all that. And you look at them and say, "I'll take one of each." The Holy Ghost says, "You can have one. Pick wisely." Craziest thing I've ever heard is diabetics that drink sugar drinks. Have you lost your mind? That's what got you in the shape you're in. Diet or water, pick them out. That's your choice now. True. True story here. You drink them, you get 300 sugar. You drink the other one, you get about 120 to 150. See the difference? You will in about 20 years. When them kidneys start shutting down and you have to jump over on that dialysis machine every day, you say, "Lord, God have mercy, what was I thinking when I was drinking that stuff every day like that?" I'm talking to you diabetics. I'm the rest of you just deal with it. I'll get you in a minute. Then you go to your doctors for your non-diabetics. You step up on the scales and the lady takes your temperature and your blood pressure. She walks you on down through there and all of a sudden you're sitting in his office. He comes in there and he's got a chart in one hand and your chart in the other one. You know what? You don't add up. You know why? Coca-Cola's have brought you to a point in your life you didn't think you'd ever get at. You know why? You knew the Holy Ghost said, "Don't do that," and you did it anyway. And you said, "Man, I got by with it in first grade, and I got by with it in high school, and I had extra credit here." And the Lord says, "Time's up. Doctor says, you're 50 pounds overweight. He said, no, I'm just a little short for my weight. But he don't agree with you. And he says, get out and walk 3 miles a day. And then you say this, I haven't got time. Here's you at the house. And I don't mean this is piano playing either. How about I do it like this so you'll understand a little better? I found a time to walk 3 miles, didn't you? I'm trying to help us out here now. We got all kinds of time. But as I look through here and I find the redeemed center, that center's been changed by Jesus. You say, how do you know you're redeemed? Because while I was preaching that, God was ringing your bell. Even better. While I've been preaching this whole message, He's been dealing with you about something else in the Bible. That's God. And the redeemed sinner has been changed by Christ, and there's something different about him. You know what it is? He's with you now. You're no longer going, God, where are you? You know where God is. You're no longer by yourself in this world because your Lord said, I'll be with you forever. And here you are. Redeemed by the blood of Christ. And listen to this. When we look at redeemed sinners, I got to ask you something. What kind of sinner are you? Are you a real sinner? You'd come up here to this altar and say, no, I'm not saved. I need to get saved. Are you a reprobate sinner and you're going to sit there and try to deal with yourself and make deals with God and say, I know I'm a phony because the test came through and I was found false, but I can't get saved because I'd embarrass myself. Or are you a religious sinner that you've got a form of religion about you that's not towards God but it's towards something, and you're fake and you're lost and you'd never admit it for all the pride and all the money you could have? Or are you just old redeemed sinner like that guy in Luke 18? You got the Pharisee come down to the altar. He's got his phylacteries on. He's got his beard shaved just the right way. He's got his clothes all laid out the way they're supposed to be. And he comes to the altar and he says this, Lord, I'm not like this guy right over here. I'm not like that crackhead. I'm not like that drunk. I'm not like that guy over there. But if you go over and Jesus would listen to another man's prayer and he said, Lord, forgive me, I'm a sinner. There's nothing good about me. Lord, will you take me? Jesus walks right past the Pharisee, the unsaved Pharisee, says, I'll take you. I'll take you. You know what that kind is over here? That's that redeemed kind. See, a lot of people have got it confused. They think Christians are supposed to be perfect and God lets everything go. That's not how it works. God's perfect and we're just old redeemed sinners. Listen, we're subject to do any sin you name. Here's the problem, though. We won't get away with it. We will not get away with it. What kind of sinner are you? Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. If you need to make your way to this altar, you come. I'll take my Bible, and I'll show you from the Bible how to be saved. If you're here today, listen, you're a reprobate sinner. God's tested you. You've been found false. Hey, today's the day of your salvation. Don't put it off another day. Get yourself to where you can be used of God, and by that I mean get saved and be used of God to do something great in this world. If you're here today and you're a reprobate sinner, God's peeled back that thing on you. Hey, it's time to get born again. Hey, it's time to get born again. Hey, redeemed sinner. Hey, you remember how it felt when you were sitting in that church pew lost? That's how they feel right now. Why don't you pray and ask God to help them right like He helped you. Father, we love you. God.